Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
And we're back on 720 WGN. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Steve Bertrand, but you know that. Here's the real star of the show. Terry Savage joins us now. What, are you laughing already?
No, that was really an introduction.
So how are you, Terry?
I'm fine. I'm like everybody else a little bit glued to the media.
Radio? Yeah, thank you very much. It's been quite an afternoon so far.
Well, yeah. That was an interesting day. Aside from that, so I know you've been talking about the George Floyd thing, and I think, we're going to switch gears a little bit now.
Right. So tell me about Wall Street. We were down on Wall Street for the most part today. What's up with that?
great lead-in. What's up with that is the markets had quite a rally, and, nothing goes straight up. And just about the time when everybody thinks it is, it's time for a little setback. You can't make too much out of one day. I don't predict market direction. I'm just thinking that I did a panel for the Chicago Innovation Awards people today. Last year at this time, we were discussing whether business would survive, what the PPP money would be all about. We had Ed Wehmer last year at the star of our show. Today, he talked about the millions upon millions. They were the biggest lenders. That they put out to the business community loans that are averaging around $60,000 or $70,000. They were not the ones giving them to big law firms or sports management companies.
And they gave them to my business.
Did you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, here we are, and you survived. Are you still doing all those travel?
not so much right now. No, that's why.
Not now, but will you do it again?
Oh yeah, we hope to be back with a couple this fall.
That's the whole point. You live to get past that horrible deep gulch. And that's what's the good side of America. And that's what the stock market is telling you about. We have problems, and there are plenty of people who are still trying to get unemployment benefits and who are not getting jobs back. But the big leap has been made now, and that's what the market's been predicting for a long time.
Did you see the Netflix numbers came out after the market closed?
Yeah, I was surprised that they stumbled. I was shocked that the shares fell 10% afterwards.
Well, the story is...
They didn't get a lot of new net subscribers.
Right.
Maybe we've all had enough.
Well, I was going to say, they missed their target for new subscribers, but they've been up so big through the pandemic, that we're starting to go outside again. We need to walk away from Netflix, I think.
I think that's what I was saying. I think maybe we've had enough. Look, but the point is, when we talk about it, I'm not a trader. I don't think anybody who listens to you for trading advice. We're American investors. We have the opportunity to invest for the long run in our 401k plans, IRAs, and being a long-term investor while having some chicken money on the side has proved itself once again through this last collapse.
Terry, did you just collapse?
Yep.
Oh, I thought I lost you.
I did not collapse. It worked. Being a long-term investor, having that S&P 500 index fund, I know every 20-something is making a fortune trading whatever they're trading, and on Bitcoin and everything else. But for our audience, I think I know you all out there, isn't it just nice to know that a year ago the Dow was 24,000, today it's almost 34,000, even though down a few hundred points today, and that we made it through. That's what you need to know for your retirement plans and your long-term.
So
the kids learn their lessons the hard way.
Do you say Dogecoin or Doggycoin?
I've never heard it said out loud except on CNBC.
I think it's Dogecoin, but others say doggy because there's a picture of a dog on the... So it's had a 400% rally in the past week. So those 20-somethings that are buying that, they're doing okay. It now has a bigger...
It is a nothing thing. It's a nothing.
I know. But it has a higher market cap than Ford and Kraft Heinz.
Okay. Listen to this. I will just quote you this from Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds by James McKay, written ages and eons ago, where a man traded his suit of clothes, his team of oxen, his farm, and his silver cup for one rare Viceroy tulip bulb. And then someone said, sell it to whom? And the whole thing collapsed. So, tulip mania, 16th century.
So you don't have a doggy coin?
I have a doggy. That's enough.
We're talking to Terry Savage. If you have a question about your money, or as I say, about her money, feel free to call. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. You can text to that number as well. We've got Carl on the line. We're going to get to Carl in just a minute or two. And I want to talk, your column that is on your website today, terrysavage.com, I think has a little to do with the conversation we've been having over the past couple of weeks. So,
dedicated to you that after last week's show, I sat down, I called my editor, I said, have you moved my column for this week yet? Because it could wait a week, the one coming up next week about caregivers. I'm in the mood, I'm writing a column right now, I'll get it to you within an hour, and now it's syndicated and posted on my website.
We'll kick
Thank
it around.
You
bet, Kit, coming up. But first now, let's get a look at the weather and the traffic and the Mary. We're back on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand at Chicago's Afternoon News. This is 420 Day. Terry, you know what 420 Day is, right?
Oh, no, Steve. I don't know what 420 Day is.
Are you
what
pretending?
It?
It's the celebration of marijuana. It's a long story, but it's a big marijuana day. And are you joking with me?
Are you joking with me?
Okay, fine. people are wondering about you today. Terry, you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay, so the House passed this week, or yesterday, I guess, legislation, right? And this is a big deal that would allow businesses or banks to work with businesses that sell marijuana. Because right now, that's really a tough thing. A lot of banks are reluctant to do it because of federal law, federal regulations. And
that's true.
But I don't know if the Senate will follow through, but the House...
I was just about to point that out. Look, this reminds me of coming out of Prohibition, you know? Without casting judgment either way on marijuana, that's not the point. The point is that while it's legal in many places to use and consume on a small amount basis, the companies that provide for it have typically been Canadian marijuana companies because they can get paid and bank their profits, and you know, it's a very big cash business. So that's been a big drawback to marijuana. You know, the market, theoretically, the market price should fall if it were easier to transact what is a legal substance in many states. It's a market kind of thing to watch. It's a real interesting story.
In the early days in Denver and Colorado, there were a lot of armed robberies, right? Because they knew they had money, that they had cash that they were transporting in paper bags.
Exactly, or in armored cars. It's been a very difficult, and that's really stood behind the large scale. So let's just suppose you agree that A, it's either recreational, B, it's got medicinal purposes, or whatever else other reason that many states and cities have legalized it. If you have legalized it, then there seems to be no reason to not allow the federal banking system to handle the business aspect of it. And that's what's going on in Congress. But, you know, can you imagine that Congress is devoting any time to legalizing marijuana or not, the banking of marijuana profits, when there's so much else that needs to be done?
Well, I think
that's not infrastructure.
It's billions of dollars in Illinois. I think it's something that is worthwhile. Anyway, our phone number is 312-981-7200. Carl has called. He's been patiently waiting. Carl, welcome to WGN.
Hey, Steve, there'll be no joking about toking.
Thank you very much. And let it begin with the seriousness of the day has finally ended.
Yes. Terry, your voice is like music to my ears. Terry, I know you've talked about this in the past, and lo and behold, just recently I got one of these prepaid debit cards from IDES, and your thoughts on that?
Did you apply for unemployment?
No.
Ooh.
Okay, I'm going to give you the simple answer because so many people have asked me that question that if you go to terrysavage.com and you look about halfway down on the right-hand side, it says, Identity Theft, Do This. And you click on that link and it gives you links to your identity has been stolen. It doesn't mean you're going to run right out and that people are going to sell your house out from under you. They mainly use strangers' identities to try and open new online banking accounts, apply for unemployment. That we had a wave of that earlier. I don't know why you're getting it.
Carl, if I can interrupt, Terry. Carl, this happened to me. I had the same thing where I got a IDS bank card in the mail. And yeah, you go online, right, Terry, online, and they can just report it as fraud, and I haven't heard anything since.
There's a whole list of things you have to do, Carl, so go click on that. Identity theft, do this. It's a yellow box halfway down the right side.
Terry, do you suggest reporting to the Federal Trade Commission as well?
Yes, there's links to the Federal Trade Commission. There's the phone number at the FBI to call. And more importantly, now, look at your... I got a posting from my Ask Terry blog at terrysavage.com. A woman said, why on earth would I have an SBA loan inquiry on my credit report? And I said, because not only did they steal your information to apply for unemployment, but for SBA loans. So while you're freezing your credit, get your credit report. Read about all the inquiries. If there is an inquiry from the SBA, there's a list on that list that you'll print out. Is a way to contact the SBA if you think that someone used your identity to do that.
Hey, Terry, final question. Is anybody going after this, it says KeyBank card OPS in Cleveland, Ohio? Anybody going after
them? Well, I actually talked to the KeyBank people a year ago when that started happening. They were very upset. The FBI has not said how cards were sent out from KeyBank, whether it was either an inside job, as I speculated at the time, and got wrapped on the knuckles by KeyBank. And we've never heard how, they do manage the unemployment benefits for many states. So it could be that someone tapped into an employee there and said, just like all the states do, send Joe Smith unemployment of this much a month. They do that, obviously, in a coded way, but maybe someone got through or someone bribed something inside. It's never been discussed, and I talk with my contact at the FBI pretty frequently, and I get we're not ready to discuss our investigation yet. So we don't know yet.
I hate these bad guys, Terry.
Thanks for the call, Carl. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Steve.
You bet. You're listening to 720 WGN 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. Hey, I want to go back to something we talked about a few weeks ago, because what I do after we talk, Terry, is I replay the tape several times because it's so nuanced. I'm worried I'm going to miss something.
I love it.
But we were having a disagreement about the tax plans on agriculture or farms in America. I don't really want to get into that because we don't know what the tax plan is going to be. But you were talking about inheritance taxes. And so I just want to make sure I understand this right. So if I've got a share of stock that I bought 20 years ago for a dollar, and it's
you bought Amazon 25 years ago.
Are you coming up with my own example?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Because it's more fun. Share for stock.
Okay.
Let's
so
make
whatever.
It real.
Okay. So whatever. I bought something 25 years ago for $100. It's now worth $1,000. So if I were to cash it now, I would owe capital gains on $900, right?
Right.
Okay. But if I were to die now and my children inherited it, did you say that they're not responsible for any of those, that $900 capital gains?
Currently, under something called the step-up basis, the value, now we're not talking about stock inside a retirement account, that's totally
different. No. This is just...
You just bought it, that 100 shares of Amazon 20-something years ago, and it's now worth, forget $100, it's worth like $19,000.
Not the point. Not the point.
That's not the point. The point is that no matter how much it went up, the day you die, they can go back and see, okay, the value of that stock was $19,000. That is and you left it to your children. That's your children's cost basis, their new cost basis. Now, they hold on to it for another 6 years and sell it for $25,000. They will pay whatever the tax rate is on the difference between $19,000 cost and the $25,000 in which they sell it. If they sell it the day after you die or the day after your will is probated or whatever it is, and the price is still $19,200, then there's no tax. I mean, there's tax on $200 from the date of death.
I'm all for that if it benefits me, but I don't think that's right. I mean, I think if I were alive and sold it and I had owed $900 on capital gains taxes, rather than died the day before and they inherited
Here's the problem. Yeah. I want to just give you a different perspective to look at it. You and I have always had these debates when I'm sitting in your room. Suppose you kept it And you could have used that $19,000 to go on a cruise or to pay off your mortgage or to whatever. But you planned because the tax law said that if you didn't sell it and pay taxes now, which are really at pretty low capital gains tax rates, maybe 20%, okay, but you didn't sell it because you wanted to give that to your children and you planned on it. Now you're saying to the, if they change the law and do away with this step-up basis, which has been mentioned, not passed, but presumed mentioned as a change, then your children are losing a part of the inheritance that you suffered and deprived yourself of to leave them.
But they didn't.
And that's the point. You make plans based on what the government says the tax laws will be.
I get that.
Not the rates
I get
so much,
that, but
the laws.
I do think
and
that.
And then they go change it.
That seems to me to be a loophole that people benefit from, and I could see the
I don't think so. Suppose you've had a family farm. That's where it started.
Well, I don't want to do the farm thing.
Family
I'm doing
years
the Amazon
and years.
Thing. Yeah, I don't want to do the
but
farm
the point
thing.
Is,
I'm doing stocks.
The farm is just a classic example of that.
No.
Families have the farm. They don't have cash. They want to pass it down to their children. And if all of a sudden, at their death, the value of the farm is taxed, then they can't. That, I mean, you take away either long-term investments or a family heritage, and that's a change in the tax law that
I see.
Really
so,
upsets the apple cart.
So what you're saying is that they would, if they had to pay the taxes on the capital gains or the quote-unquote gains right away, they'd have to sell
exactly.
something. I see. Okay. Well, that makes it more complicated, but I still think
it makes it more painful for people who have, not wealthy people so much, but people who have long held assets that they're proud of. I mean, I own Amazon from forever ago. That's why
apparently
I
do
it
too.
Up.
I didn't know that till today, but
okay.
All right, we
and
gotta...
I just want it's not that much, but I'd like my kids to have Amazon forever too, because I just think it's a great company.
All right, we got to fly. Nice to talk to you, Terry.
Okay.
I know it's 4:20, so you've got things to do.
Not in that arena. Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.